The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
So today we're going to talk about every Goliath. For every Goliath, there is a stone. How many have had or have a giant in your life right now? Okay. You know, just about everybody in here can identify with what I'm talking about. If you don't have right now, I'm sorry to tell you, you will have. Giants show up all the time. They come in many different forms. They come sometimes in our finances. They come sometimes in our relationships. They come sometimes in our health. A lot of in our marriages. A lot of different forms that a giant comes in. But it doesn't matter what form that giant comes in. When it's a giant and it is, we are facing it, it is huge. Amen? We'll talk a little bit about that. We're all going to face giants, but I do want to encourage you as I continue through this message, we can all defeat the giants. They are a defeated foe. Many times in our lives, though, we allow the giant to become bigger than he really is. He looks huge, but we sometimes allow him to become a lot bigger than he really is in our life, or he should be. We're sort of like the little boy whose mother asked him to go downstairs and get her a jar of jam, and he didn't like to go down in that basement. It was dark, it was damp, it was scary. So he said, no, I don't want to go. But she said, yes, I need you to go. Go down there and get that. Jesus will be with you. So he went over to the door, and he opened the door, and it was dark and scary down there. And he slammed the door and started to run away, and then a thought came to him. He opened the door, and he called out, Jesus, if you're down there, bring me the jam. Now, I say that because I think that's our approach sometimes to the giants. Instead of doing what the Bible tells us to do, and we're going to talk about this, we're going to see what some of the things that David did, we want God to take care of it completely and totally without any responsibility on us. And it just doesn't work that way. We are responsible to walk in the power of God in our life. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Go therefore. What he was doing was delegating his authority to us. Now, when Jesus encountered demons, he didn't say, God, cast them out. He said, come out. When the disciples encountered demons or any situation, they didn't ask God to remove them. They had the authority because they had the Holy Spirit in them to cast those things out. When they came up a tough situation, they spoke to that situation and they saw a change. And that's our responsibility in this, is to make sure that we understand we have some authority. But let's look at some stuff here this morning. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you have your Bible, your iPad, your phone, whatever it is, we don't care. Just so you have the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 through 3. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together at battle and were gathered to Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah. And Iphis Damim, nice words. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. All right, what we're seeing here is a pretty typical battle array between two armies. What we get is the Philistines on one side of this valley, this ravine, and the Israelites on the other. They were prepared to go to war with each other. And what we're about to see here is three things that Goliath, and that's what I want to talk about, three things that every Goliath has that we experience in our lives. Let's look at verse 4. First of all, and a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was about 6 cubits and a span. To the best of most people's calculation, based on what they know or what they've been able to figure out, a cubit and a span, this giant was probably between 9 feet 6 inches tall and 9 feet 9 inches tall. He was huge. This was a real being, giant, whatever you want to refer to him. Some people believe that they were a hybrid being, not necessarily human, completely human. But whatever, giants are real. Giants were real in those days. Giants were run out of the land of Canaan when the Israelites came in. They did battle with giants. In fact, Caleb went to the mountains, and that's where there was a lot of giants in that area. He was given that whole area. And at 80 years old, he went up and did battle against the giants. When God is with you, age has nothing to do with it. Amen. But here's what I want you to see about this. And, you know, one of the things that I'd like for you to know is that there are a history of giants living in the Americas. There was a history of giants living in the Middle East. There's been huge skeletons that have been found. There's all kinds of evidence that there were, and, you know, I don't know of any giants that are alive today, but there were giants in the land. The Native Americans here in the United States had legends, and some people say if every legend has some truth to it, but they had certain tribes had legends of giants that were large enough to run up beside a herd of buffalo and pick a buffalo up under its arm and never slow down. Like I said, that was a Native American legend. What I want you to understand is that this was a real giant, huge being that David was about to go up against. He was big. Big, big, big. Bigger than anything that we can imagine. Let's continue reading. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and shield bearer went before him. Okay, first, not only was he big, but he was bad. He was a bad dude. Well, you must understand, he was not just a big, clumsy ogre. He was a warrior. He was an athlete. He had been doing battle since he was a teenager. It mentions that in this story, that he had been, since he was a youth, he had been in battle situations, fighting. He knew what he was doing. He had the weaponry. He was big, and he was bad. Every giant we encounter looks big and bad. Amen. Amen? You've been there. You may be there right now. It looks bigger than anything you've ever seen before. And it's a bad dude. There's a purpose for that. Verse 8 through 11. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servant of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then he will be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. There it is, right there. That's what this whole thing, that's what the giant is designed for, to instill fear. He was big, he was bad, and he was brazen. He was in your face. He was in the face of the Philistines. Every day he would come out and he would tell them what dogs they were. What cowards they were. I know you're experiencing that, or you have experienced the enemy speaking to you. He's telling you that you don't have the ability to accomplish whatever it is that God has called you to accomplish. Or you're not going to be able to do this thing. You're not going to overcome this sickness. Your finances are going to fall apart. Your relationships are doomed. That's what the enemy's telling you. He's in your face right now. He's brazen. And he hates you. And he's trying to bring fear upon you. All these things are designed by the enemy to strike fear in the hearts of God's people. But I want to give you heart this morning. Take courage. God is on your side. He is a defeated foe and God is with you. You have the greater one that lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit dwells with you. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. There are so many scriptures that you can go to that tells you that you have already defeated the giant. Amen? Now, here's what happened to the Israelites. You just saw it. I read it. They saw him, and what did they do? They were greatly afraid. They ran away. They hid. Even King Saul, who was their leader and supposed to be a great warrior, fled away because they were looking at this big, bad, brazen giant. Every day, they focused on the giant. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. Don't let the enemy do that to you. Amen. Don't focus on that giant. Amen. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to call attention to himself, how big, how bad he is. He stands up and he proclaims what's going to happen to you. In reality, it's a ruse. If you don't believe it, he can't cause it to happen. Amen. He's a liar and he's a thief. So how are we going to combat this temptation to focus on the enemy? Well, let's jump down to verse 20 and talk about it, but I want to explain a little bit to you. This is Jesse's sons. He had three sons that were in this battle, and David was the youngest, so he asked David to take some food to his brothers at this battle. And David shows up before the battle takes place. And we'll pick it up right there. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. And he talked with them. There was the champion, the Philistine, of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistine. And he spoke according to the words, so David heard them. I'm going to stop right there because I want you to understand. David heard the same speech that everybody else heard. Everyone saw the giant. They saw how big, how bad he was, how brazen he was. He was in their face, and they focused on it. Let's look at what David did.
And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Let's stop right there. All of them fled. They told David, listen, as David's talking to them, he wants to know what's going on, and they tell him what's going on. But they also tell him more. They tell him something that's very interesting. The man who goes out to defeat this enemy is going to get something. There's going to be a reward for it. And I find that real interesting because David's intrigued by this. Let's read a little bit more. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the men, for the man who kills the Philistines and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" First of all, David is indignant that this enemy, this uncircumcised Philistine, could stand up and say such things against his God and the armies of God. But more than that, he's intrigued by the reward. He wants to know more about it. So he asks the guys, "Tell me more about this reward." And they begin to tell him. They tell him what's going on. And not only do they tell him, but as they're telling him, his brother shows up and he gets indignant. He's angry at David because he can see that there's something inside of David that he doesn't have. There's a desire to do God's will. But David sloughs it off. And David moves on and he asks again, "What is it that they're going to do for the man who kills this uncircumcised Philistine?" And they go through it all again and they explain to David, there's going to be riches. You get to marry the king's daughter. Woo! Your father won't have to pay taxes any longer. Man, that would be good, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. My family would like that if I did something they didn't have to pay taxes anymore. Glory be to God. Here's what we must see in this. David, the Israelites all focused on the big, bad, brazen giant. David focused on God and the reward for doing God's will. He saw the reward. Now, it's not wrong for you to focus on the reward. God has promised you. Just like Brother Leland was talking about this morning, God's promised you he'll rebuke the devourer if you're a tither. He's promised you if you give, it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing will men give unto your bosom. That's right. It's okay to claim those blessings. It's okay to believe that. There are rewards. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's right. It's not wrong to trust and believe that God has a reward for it. In fact, the ultimate reward is heaven. That's supposed to be our main focus. If we can keep our eyes on that, we won't get sidetracked here on this earth. But there are earthly rewards as well. God wants to reward us in this earth at this time. Amen. He's looking for servants who will rise up, just like David did. Not look at the giant, but look at the power of Almighty God. And know that if I do the will of my Father, there will be reward for it. He wants to reward you. He does, and he will. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You know, if you look back and you read about David's life and you go on from here and you read about things that happened to David, his whole life was an example of a man who trusted and saw the rewards of Almighty God in his life. Now, he made some mistakes. He was a human being.
he did some incredibly stupid things. His affair with Bathsheba, having her husband, putting out a contract on her husband, having him killed. Man, committed murder, basically. And yet, God said, this is a man after my own heart.
Yeah. That's right.
Think about it.
That's right.
I trust that there's no one sitting in here this morning that's ever committed murder. And yet, sometimes we allow the enemy to tell us that we're just no good worm. And it's a lie. You're a child of the Most High God. You've been called and equipped with everything that you need. And God loves you more than you can even imagine. He wants to reward you. But we've got to be like David here in this situation. Faithful to God. Forget about that giant. Get your eyes off that giant. Doesn't matter how big, bad, and brazen he is. God has a plan for you. Just like he had a plan for David. Let's go on and read a little bit more this morning. Now, the interesting thing that I want to look at this morning, there's three things about this stone. Because for every giant, for every Goliath, there's a stone. The stone is our weapon. And we need to recognize that God has given us all the weapons that we need. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? We have the weapons that are necessary to defeat this giant in our life. But I can tell you this. In order to get to the point where we're able to defeat these giants that keep rising up, we must exercise our faith on a smaller level. That's just the way it works. It's like a muscle. You got to begin exercising your faith. Just like, once again, I'll bring up what Leland said about tithing. That's an exercise of your faith. You know, for some of you, it may seem like a huge giant. But the reality is, God is asking you to be obedient to his word so that you can build your faith. Now, here's the thing about David. Well, let's read verse 38 through 40. David has made it known to somebody has made it known to the king that David is willing to fight the giant. And David tells him, you know, I'm going to do it. Let's go back to verse 37. I think we need to start there. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord will be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet on his head, also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Read verse 40, I'm sorry. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and put the shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. All right, first of all, as we read this, we see that King Saul, you know, he understood what going to battle against such an enemy was like, and he felt like David needed the proper equipment. So he took his equipment and he put it on David. And of course, Saul was a big man, bigger than most Israelites. We don't know how big David was, but we do know that he was a young man at this time. So it sounds like this armor was just way too big for him. More than he could handle. Plus, David makes this point, which I think is really something that we need to recognize and focus on. David had not tested the armor. In other words, he had not used it before. He had not tried it. He had not practiced with it.
And I guess that's really the point that I'm trying to make with this, is that there is some practice when it comes to our faith. We've got to exercise it. You know, we've got to test it. You know what David had tested? The stone. He had tested the stone time and time again. When he was in the wilderness with the sheep, he had used the stone to run off predators. He may have used the stone even to run off people who would come to steal a sheep. David understood what kind of a weapon he had and how he could use it. The stone was powerful in the hands of one who could use it properly. It was tested for David. When I think about my own life and the way I've had to, you know, the things that God has called me to do and things that God's going to call each and every one of us to, He always gives us opportunity to begin to test our faith, test the equipment that He has given us. Because this is what it's all about. It's about putting faith in Almighty God, trusting Him. And as I think about through our life, how, you know, we got saved, started serving the Lord, felt like God was calling us to start a youth group. So we started. We didn't know anything about having a youth group. We didn't know anything about much of anything. We were just young, dumb couple. Well, I was dumb. She wasn't. Can't speak for her. We didn't know much of anything except that we were going to trust God, and He had called us. So we started a youth group, and it helped us to exercise our faith and to begin to walk into things of God. And let me tell you something. When you take on responsibility like that, it'll stretch your faith. Amen? Just a small youth group, but it stretched our faith. But then God said, I'm not through with you. I want you to do youth rallies. So we started doing youth rallies in this area and promoting that and having speakers come in and bands. And man, God was really stretching us then. And then He took us to Athens and started working at Children's Services. And after a couple years, he spoke to us about starting a Christian group home. We knew absolutely nothing about starting a Christian group home. But we were surrounded by people who helped us. We prayed. We asked for God's direction. And sure enough, we were able to buy a home, purchase a home, and start a group home. What an undertaking. As I look back on it now, man, that was stupid. But God was in it. Had it been just us, had it been just, you know, something that we conjured up, it would have really been stupid. But it wasn't, because God was in it. And God caused it to happen. But all these things in our life was just preparation for me and Tammy to become pastors here at Bethel Worship Center. Now, He's not finished with us. We've got all kinds of things yet to do, much to accomplish. But what I want you to understand that at 20 years old when we were saved, had God thrust me into a position of pastor, I wouldn't have been able to handle that. God took us step by step in preparation, establishing us, getting us ready for this position and then whatever else He has for us in the future. He tested us, and He had us test the equipment. It was the stone that we had. The stone was our weapon. The stone is basically the Word of God that we stand on. Romans tells us, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we hear the Word It builds our faith. And I want to encourage you this morning. If you are facing a giant, the best way to deal with that giant is find the Word of God. I mean the Logos Word. This Word. Find Scripture. It may not become rhema to you right away, but we'll talk about that. It will. It may not be rhema to you right away, which is life-giving. But if you find the Logos Word and you believe it and you stand on it and you remind God of it, it's your weapon against that giant. And you can test it. The stone was tested. David tested that stone time and time again. So he went and he got 5 smooth stones. Now, a lot of people say, well, why did he get 5? Somebody said one time that, well, Goliath had 4 brothers. That may be true. It is true. I do know from Scripture it is true. However, I'm not sure that that's the reason that David chose 5 stones. Have you ever known a hunter, I don't care how good of a marksman he is, to take 1 shell when he goes hunting? I'm not. I mean, there may be some good ones out there that can do that. How about an arrow? You take 1 arrow with him when he goes, when he's going deer hunting? No. I mean, a wise hunter knows that no matter how good he is, the possibility of missing is still there. Amen? This speaks of our preparation. Being prepared. Having, you know, it's not just 1 stone you need. You need a whole bag full of stones that you can throw at the enemy. That's the Word. Word of God, no matter what your situation, if it's financial, get a whole bag full of financial scriptures. If it's health, get a whole bag full of scriptures on your health and relationships. Get a whole bag full. Because I don't know if you may not need them. You may be just like David. That one may hit the mark. But it's not going to do you any harm to have a whole bag full. Verse 45 through 47. And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." I love this speech. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Man, that's powerful. David said, "I'm going to cut your head off." And he didn't even have a sword. By faith, he knew that God was going to provide. He had the weapon that he needed. He had the stone. You have the weapons that you need. It doesn't matter how big, how bad, how brazen that enemy is. If you will go to the Word of God, you will get a bag full of those stones. You will defeat the enemy. Amen. Glory. Yeah, give God glory. Amen. Praise Lord. Praise God. The stone is tested, but not only was it tested, but it was anointed by God. And David knew it was anointed. That's the thing you have to grasp. Is it not? This word is not just written word on paper. It's God's word to us. And it can not only just become logos as we read it, it becomes rhema as we read. Every situation that I've ever been in where I was facing a giant, God always, as I went to the Word of God, God always gave me not just a logos word, but a rhema word that was alive. It meant something to me. It was the same word that everybody else read that same day or at other times. But it became alive to me for my situation. God is always, and He will always do that for you. If you seek Him and desire, He'll make it alive to you. That's why the gift of prophecy is so important. I know that some people are afraid of the gift of prophecy, the words of wisdom, words of knowledge, but these things are so important because God confirms His Logos word with a Rhema word for us, for each and every one of us. So it becomes alive to us. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. I was in a particular situation where we were trying our best to discern and serve God early on in the ministry. And we had some people that, for whatever reason, stirred up, was upset. They got upset with us, and they wanted to stop what God was doing in the church early on. I had nothing to rely on but the Word of God. This particular scripture was the scripture that God caused to become Rhema to me in that situation. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's the way I read it. And every tongue which rises against me in judgment, I will condemn. Basically what it's saying, it's not saying you're going to condemn the person. It's saying that you're going to prove that it's wrong. You've got to prove that it's wrong by your behavior, your actions, by the power of God. I shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant. This is your heritage, Rob. Because you're a servant of the Lord. And your righteousness is from the Lord. You see what I'm saying? It's got to become personal to you. When it becomes personal, you know it's anointed. When David faced this giant, not long before that, he had received a personal word from Samuel that he was going to eventually be king of Israel. I think that probably played into this whole situation just a little bit, don't you? Do you think that he had that in the back of his mind? God is, if God's going to make me king eventually, this giant can't do anything to me. That's why we've got to get the personal word. That's why it has to become Rhema to us. If God says this to me, then it doesn't matter what's happening around me. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to prosper. Amen. Amen? Last thing I want to share with you this morning. I'll try not to be emotional about this. 1 Samuel 17, verse 48. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Hallelujah. Boy, that's good right there. He wasn't waiting on the enemy to come get him. He was after the enemy. He had a stone that he had tested, a stone that was anointed, and he was going to get that giant. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in his hand, in the hand of David. Of course, we know what he did. He went over and took the sword and cut off his head. But it says he killed him with the stone. Now here, the last thing that I want to share with you about the stone. The stone that you have, there is a stone for you, for the Goliath that's in your life. If you've tested it, you know it's anointed. The last thing is, it will be accurate. You will take down the enemy.
Amen. You can count on the accuracy of God's word to defeat the enemy in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Here's what I want you to understand. You know, we live in a very modern age. Of course, you know, we know that there are nuclear weapons, and one nuclear bomb could wipe out a city easily. Of course, they have neutron bombs now. One or two could probably wipe out a whole nation because they're that powerful. But here, what I know about the Word of God. God's weapons have been nuclear from the beginning of time. I'm telling you, with the Word of God, if you believe it, you stand on it, you know that it's anointed. I don't care. You may be the worst aim in the world. It doesn't matter. All you got to do is hit close. You're going to take that giant out. It's nuclear. It wipes out every demon in 150,000 miles because it's powerful. You didn't act like you thought that was that great, but the enemy is a defeated foe. Amen. Glory, stand with me this morning.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.